are back on the Andy Finn Show, and on this day, still continuing with weird sports records, because we had those two guys that got three triples on the same day, different years, but you don't see a player have three triples more than a few times in the history of baseball. A Yankee in 1925, Ben Pascal, hit two inside-the-park home runs in one day. That's kind of an unusual record. And Stan Musial got five hits off of five different pitchers on this day in 1945 on five consecutive pitches. So in other words, each time he came to the plate, he got a hit. Each time it was a different pitcher in the game. And each time, he did it on the first pitch. That's got to be some kind of a record. I just don't know what it is. In any case, let me move on to some of the Katrina news. The situation has shifted somewhat. I don't think Rita has much to do with this. It's going to spare the golf course. But so the things that have stayed the same is we're still moving on to the blame game. People are still pointing fingers. And I have to tell you that the performance at all three levels, city, state, and federal government, is nothing to crow about. All three of them have need to take their lumps over how they handled this. But I'm probably least impressed with the governor of Louisiana, Blanco. I find her whiny. Every time she can't get her way, she doesn't negotiate, in this case with the Admiral, in the old case with FEMA. She goes to the press and says, they won't do X or Y or whatever it is, when in fact she just needs to figure out how to get some of these things done, and she needs to figure out how to compromise with other people that have opinions and, frankly, valid positions on some of this. So, you know, I don't spare Ray Nagin, the mayor of New Orleans, any... I don't give him any great credit for how he's handled it, and I certainly don't give FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security any great credit for how they've handled it. But that blame game is still going on, and you hear it in the talk shows. You know, the conservative talk shows are blaming the Democrats, the local officials, right, the governor and the mayor, and sparing the Bush administration in large part, although they have to go after him some. Let's face it, that was a huge screw-up at the federal level. And then the liberals are sparing the Democratic officials at the local level and the state level, and then picking on the Bush administration. So nothing much changes on that score. New interesting issue, though, that came up this week was the issue of whether the levees were substandard construction. Now, this isn't going to get settled for quite some time, but the initial projections done by scientists at some of the universities around New Orleans is that the level of surge, the storm surge that occurred, there are a number of ways how they can tell how high it went, through computer modeling, through actually going out and looking at the dirty water line in different places. And it turns out they don't believe it was a surge that should have broken these levees. Now, there's different levees that broke, three different levees that broke in different places, a couple on the canal, one on Lake Pontchartrain, and so it's a very, these are different situations, so I can't generalize, except to say their preliminary studies suggest that the levees should have held. Well, if that's the case, then the question is, what was wrong with them? Were they constructed improperly? Were they not engineered properly, or were they not constructed to the engineering specifications? You know, it's not at all uncommon in construction, and I used to work for an engineering firm that oversaw construction projects. It was our job to make sure the contractors did what they said they would do and what they were being paid to do. And contractors will cut corners. If you're not looking, let's say they're supposed to put in, we were engineering the construction of sewers, storm sewers and sanitary sewers in new neighborhoods. And if you're not looking, instead of, you know, 15 inches of a bed of stone that they're supposed to put down on top of the as a bed for you lay the sewer pipe on, if they can get away with 12 inches, you run that out miles and miles, and they save themselves a lot of money on stone. And they think, well, what's the difference? 12 inches, 15 inches, this sewer's not going anywhere, and besides, we'll be long gone. Well, maybe with sewers, but the problem is you start applying that to things like levees, and you got trouble. So we'll have to see. It's too early to know if that's what happened. But we know the history of graft and corruption and things like that in New Orleans. So I'm just wondering at this point. Also, politicians have been staking out their positions on both the aid and on the rebuilding. Now, President Bush came out with a new speech. He has now visited. His speech was last week, and they bathed him in light, and he strode over from to the podium from the side, and it was all orchestrated by Karl Rove and his staff for maximum impact. They brought in all these lights. Now, mind you, they cannot get generators and lights in some places that need them, where people don't have light at night, but they had plenty of light down there for the president's speech, because they got to bring it off right. And so they made him look as presidential as you can make George W. Bush look, and it didn't help his ratings. It turns out the newest polls that have come out, and there have been a couple this week, his ratings have actually dipped just a little bit further. His overall approval is 40%. That is dismal for a president that just won re-election. In any case, Bush did announce that it's going to cost about $200 billion. The other thing he said was, when they asked him how you're going to pay for it, he said, well, there won't be any tax increases. We're going to keep the tax cuts, make them permanent, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to have to be done with offsets. He used the phrase, we're going to have to cut the budget elsewhere, or whatever he said. But it'll be interesting to see what ultimately happens on that score. But he basically said at one point that, yes, it's going to cost about $200 billion. And he said, hey, you know, who knows where the money's going to come from? But he essentially said it didn't matter, that we needed to get it done. And so it doesn't matter where the money comes from. We can't worry about that right now. Well, there are Republicans in Congress and Democrats in Congress that are worried about where it's going to come, because unlike Mr. Bush, they still have elections to face. In fact, everyone in the House of Representatives and a third of the Senate have an election coming up toot sweet November of 2006. That is only a year away. The campaign is less than a year away. And even some offsets, if there is fat in the budget somewhere, and I don't know that members of Congress are going to want to repeal or take back some of their earmarks in this pork-laden transportation bill, and I doubt if they're going to revisit the farm bill that was passed a year and a half ago that Bush signed, that was full of pork. But barring that, we're looking at increasing the deficit. And the deficit's already at historically high levels. The highest deficit in history was recorded last year by George W. Bush, and you can thank his tax cuts, of course, for that. Now, admittedly, there were other things going on, a little thing called 9/11 and the Iraq War and the tech bubble bursting and all of that, but you take $1.9 trillion in tax cuts over 10 years. Now, we haven't experienced all of those yet, but we've experienced a big chunk of them so far, you know, maybe a third of them so far. Well, that's the money we're in the hole. So I think the deficit was $416 billion last year, and Bush's promise when he was running last year was to cut the deficit in half within 5 years. I'm sorry, in 4 years, by the time he got out of his second term. Well, that may sound like something big. The problem is that cutting the deficit in half is actually not hard between 2004 and 2008. A couple of things. One, Bush has overheated the economy with these tax cuts. If you think about what $1.9 trillion in tax cuts will do for an economy, it not only warms it up, it overheats it. The typical presidential package of tax cuts to stimulate a lagging economy is somewhere between $50 billion and $200 billion. You know, nobody goes out and says, we need $500 billion to stimulate the economy. The question is, will that stimulation of the economy bring you back $500 billion in tax receipts? Because that's always the argument, is that the tax cuts will more than pay for themselves in economic growth. You get the engine of the economy going, and the tax increases come and follow. Well, that was certainly true during the 90s. Bill Clinton benefited from a booming economy, and so the tax receipts went way up, and that allowed Clinton to stop running a deficit. We were able to stop the deficits that were essentially made much worse under Reagan with his tax cuts and then under Bush's father. And Clinton began the turnaround by raising taxes. Everybody said, oh, you can't raise taxes. It'll cripple the economy. It not only didn't cripple it, it was exactly the right prescription for paying down the deficit, for reducing the deficit and starting to pay down the debt. So we were on the way to pay down the debt. Bush came into office looking at what? They were saying a $6 trillion surplus over 10 years. Although most people caution, don't believe those numbers. They're probably fiction. Bush used those arguments to say, we can do it all. We can increase the military budget. We can give deep tax cuts. And we can have a new Medicaid prescription drug program. There was money for everything. And pay down the debt. And save Social Security, meaning he wasn't planning to raid Social Security. Well, they're raiding Social Security every year, meaning the money that comes in is not being kept in any kind of a lockbox, even a an accounting lockbox. It's being folded into the general fund. If it wasn't, if the $180 billion surplus from Social Security wasn't folded into the general fund, we wouldn't be looking at a $416 billion deficit in 2004. It would have been over close to $600 billion in deficit. That's half a trillion. You know, we're looking at, we were up to $7 trillion in debt when Clinton started paying it down. We got it down, I think, to $5.5 trillion or something like that by the time Bush put his tax cuts in place. And now we're headed right back up to $7 trillion in debt and beyond. So when you talk $500 billion deficits, you're saying a half a trillion a year. Well, it only takes 10 years of that to give you $5 trillion more in total national debt. So this is a serious problem that Bush has ignored and Bush supporters ignore. You know, they say, see, the tax cuts are working. The economy's in good shape. You don't need $1.9 trillion to get the economy on its feet. First of all, in a few years, it takes care of itself. That is, it goes through cycles, so it would have been fine anyway. But, you know, $100 billion to stimulate it, fine. In any case, all of this is in the context of the fact that we are now looking at probably $200 billion for Katrina, the cleanup for that. That's probably the government's share. Who knows if Rita will hit and cost us another $50 billion or more. But we've spent $200 billion in Iraq, and there's no end in sight for that, really. And so we are spending money all over the place, and Republicans are no longer the party of fiscal responsibility. You know, they always said the Democrats were the party of tax and spend. Well, the Republicans, it turns out, both during the Reagan and the first Bush years, and now again in the Bush 43 years, the Republicans are the party of borrow and spend. If Bush doesn't raise taxes and he plans to put this on the deficit, he's basically saying, let's have our grandchildren pay for this. Well, that is not fair. And so I think the country at some point is going to get sick of this and say, you know, why did we put an amateur behind the wheel of the United States of America? And when we come back, I don't say I'll have an answer for you on that. But I do expect to have some more questions.